costi, per cui sono di qualità.
Because the whole time I had gone through life, I thought my perspective was a straight line. But then I figured out that it was a ball, right? So it's like it took something pushing the ball for it to start spinning, and then my illusion of self began to break, and then there's stuff happening in my family and in school, and so much disillusionment and disenchantment came with all of that. But I can say that it was very painful, but it was so necessary, because I wouldn't be the person I am. I wouldn't think the way I think. I wouldn't consider people the way I do. I wouldn't be someone with depth.
Substance and depth, two of the most exquisite things, be it in a poem or a person. My guest Efe Oraka is one such person, dripping with substance and brimming with depth, all of which are on display in this side A of our conversation. Efe is a 22-year-old musician based in Abuja. She sings, she writes, and she plays the guitar. Efe is magic, but she's also surprisingly wise and grounded. You don't expect that from many 22-year-olds, even though her songwriting is very mature and earthy. I knew she would be fascinating to talk to, but I didn't think she would understand certain things. I was only happy to listen while she expressed and explored all kinds of themes, topics, and subjects. This was all about getting to know her beyond the music. It was about how she sees herself, how people see her, and how she sees the world, and how it all informs her music in the end. It's Efe like you never heard her. If you've always been a fan of Efe's, then you'll be pleasantly surprised by her range, thoughtfulness, and bravery. If you're only just hearing Efe for the first time, wait until you hear her sing. She really is magic. It is my hope that this conversation catches you at the right time, at the exact moment you need it. Do take out time to subscribe, share, and leave a review. All of that goes a long way. Also, follow the podcast on IG at The Young God Pod and Twitter at I Am The Young God for exclusive content. My name is Rodney Omokachie, and you're welcome to The Young God.
I remember that scene from Get Out.
The scene from Get Out?
Yeah, where the lady is like staring at the tea and the guy just... That was trippy.
Thank you for being here. We're here at Vintage Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
Inside their cigar room, and we're just having a nice, quiet time. Where do we begin? The last time we talked, mm-hmm. You were in Lagos. How was Lagos? What was happening there?
Whoa, okay, so I went to Lagos to finish up a couple of songs and to have... I actually had, like, a label meeting in Lagos.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, very interesting stuff, but yeah.
Did you make good music, though?
There's this song that I made. Well, I started it in Abuja and I finished up in Lagos. Mm-hmm. And that song is going to do incredible things for me. I think a lot of people, first of all, are just going to be like, is that Efe singing about those things? And it's just like, yes, those things. And it's Efe, and you know, Efe is a 22-year-old woman. I mean, it only makes sense. That part. I can even play the song for you after this podcast. I'm feeling generous.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's going to be off the record.
Of course. Yeah, okay. We're in the spirit. That part. Hey. So how does it feel to be associated with that word magic? Like every small thing magic. How does it feel?
Funny enough, L gave me the name magic the first time. So what happened was I had posted a picture of myself with a guitar. No videos of me singing, and he saw me with the guitar and he was just like, I know you know what you're doing. And he messaged me and I performed at Savali, and while we're doing the sound check, he just said magic. And you know when it just feels like everything in you agrees with a certain word? Mm-hmm. It's like a moniker that I could never let go of now. Mm-hmm. Because I've always felt like I am some sort of magical creature. Maybe like at first, maybe I thought I was some sort of Disney princess at very elementary stage. But I do really feel like the way I navigate life, the way I think about things, has like an undertone of just magic, really. So it makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, I get that feeling, because it's how I feel about, like, I feel like everything I do has an undertone of like God energy. That part.
I'm screaming.
Right?
That's a very apt.
Apt, precise way to put it.
Yeah. People generally just tell me that it just feels as though I understand them. I don't even know what that means fully, but most of the times I have conversations with people and they're just like, you just get me. And I may not even necessarily get the person, but they just feel that comfortable around me or something. They feel understood, which is great, because a lot of my philosophies in life and about music are about enlightenment.
Right.
So I guess understanding is part of enlightenment. So I like the fact that people think I'm like a good understander of people and emotions and just like things in general.
I'm gonna tell you right now, if you're somebody that is described in that way, that is top two compliments you can ever get. Because there is nothing more important than having that understanding spirit or energy, or having people feel that way around you. Like, and when you have that, I think it's the best
quality
gift you can give someone. You know, and it's the best compliment you can get when they receive that, when they like notice that that's what you are. Magic, good energy is all the same thing right now. It's just you doing your thing in a way that's authentic.
Yeah.
That resonates and that just creates situations that are just, you can't
have. Can't make it up.
That part.
A lot of the opportunities I've gotten with music so far anyways are not things that I feel like I necessarily had to work for. There's so many things that have come my way, and I see people put like a lot of effort.
Right.
But for a long time, man, I was really just breezing by and things just kept coming my way.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that has come from me genuinely loving what I do and being able to translate the fact that I love what I do. And maybe also the fact that the way I create music, the way I write, writing is so important to me. A lot of people might think it's about the singing, and the singing is great, but for me it is, the writing is the cocoa of everything. And a lot of times I get situations where, for instance, Wonderland, someone asked me to sing Wonderland at their proposal. Wonderland is not a song about love that is going to work out. It's about impending doom in love. But I write music in such a way that it's open-ended. It's really giving me opportunities that I don't even think I deserve, because why would you ask me to sing Wonderland at your proposal? It didn't make any sense to me, but I chose not to question it, because, like, you know?
You sang that shit and you collected your money.
You know? Yes. Not all the money, though, but, like, yeah.
That part.
So, at what point is it going to be about the money?
I hope it's never about the money in a way that everything is about the money. I realize the importance of money more so, and I understand where money comes in, but I really just hope that I don't get to a point where I'm just like, oh yeah, money, you know. I think that would, to be fair, I guess there are a lot of musicians who are just trying to make money, but for the sort of person I am, that would not be truthful to my ideals. So
you look at, like, in Black American culture, right? Or anywhere in the world, a lot of people start music as a way to get out of poverty. So
yeah,
it's like, you know, you need to survive, you need to eat and everything. And then when they make the money, right, I think at that point you're no longer in survival mode now.
Yeah, now you can actually create.
Now you can create from a place of, you know,
abundance,
artistry, creativity. You can really, like, try things. My favorite example is Lil Wayne. You know, at Carter 3, you could tell he was hungry.
Yeah.
And then from that point, when he like blew, because that's when he blew, when he released Lollipop and Co. At that point,
yeah,
he
actual
blew.
Artistry started to come out.
Come out. He became more experimental. He did a rock album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, started doing all kinds of other things.
100%.
Test skating. He became his like true self in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You get.
And money can do that for you, honestly.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So where it gets problematic is those who just never get rid of that hunger for money.
Mm.
The greed just keeps, you know, moving them to do things. And in that way, it can be detrimental.
That part, hey.
Sometimes you have to learn to be a lion
so
you can be the lamb you really are.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's
get
a good one.
I know, right? The difference between being a creative and a creative individual. So a creative is just someone who does the art, who has the skill for something. But a creative individual is someone who their creativity doesn't just come out in the art they do.
Yeah.
But another aspect of their life, you know,
yeah.
It's a full-on
100%. You're mostly a creator then.
A creative.
Yeah.
Boom. That's what's up. So I think this distinction is very important to me because I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in those guys, you know, those guys who like draw these hyper-realistic paintings. They just know the thing. I don't think it's very creative what they do, but they just show that they can
draw
and replicate a thing. But then you see someone who's creative can use that skill and then merge with other things.
Yeah.
Mixed medium. They can create some things that are just not hyper-realistic as in true to life, but then from here,
yeah.
You get. So I think those distinctions matter to me and I see it. In musicians all the time, in artists, in designers.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell the difference between those who are just creative in this thing and those who are creative all around.
It's a very specific type of intelligence. I think that's what I find too.
Yeah.
I don't think creative intelligence is spoken about as much as it should be, but it's a very like niche type of intelligence.
Because it's not understood. Like,
yeah.
It's not spoken about because even the people
we don't understand it.
Like
yeah.
You're just doing your thing and
mm-hmm.
sometimes when you create, you're creating. And people create from a place that's deep within,
mm-hmm.
based on experiences that they've
mm-hmm.
they've had. Others create from, you know, seeing other people work or being inspired by, you know, what's happening around them.
Mm-hmm.
Others are just not inspired, just not to copy and just
some
do
create
the
from
thing.
intuition. And I think that's one thing I didn't know how to explain how I create, because a lot of people ask me, how do you write music? And I'm like, I'm not even joking, like a whole song just pops. I'm not even kidding, like verse one, verse two, verse three, everything at once. And if I don't record it, then I can't forget. There was one time when I was writing Jam, funny enough, as I was about to start, I started hearing Dive. Dive is on my EP. I heard it in my mind very clearly. And I took the back of the Jam sheet and just started. Because I was like, if I forget this song, I'm going to be so fucking mad at myself. So I just started writing and I was singing the song and the tune the whole time so that I wouldn't forget. And I was rushing to answer so I could go out and record it. So when I entered the car, my mom was waiting for me. She was like, how was your Jam? I was like, it is yours. And I recorded the whole thing and she said, she was like, oh, this girl has done it again. And I ended up getting really good Jam score. I got 262. So
yeah.
I was just like, okay, God obviously did something. Because
yeah.
I don't even know, I was not paying attention to that sound. I was just like, I just don't want to forget this really great song,
oh, wow.
Right? And I've trusted my intuition so much with my art. But I found it really hard to trust my intuition with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now just learning how to actually listen to my intuition when I see things in my head or I hear a voice and it says this. Because with my art, I'm just like, oh yeah, like this is just my thing and I just do it. But with everything else, like the anxiety comes in and I will now start questioning the thing and this and that. So I'm only just now learning how to just follow instinct.
Time for a shameless plug. I don't do this full-time, even though many think I do. When I'm not podcasting, I'm solving creative problems for my clients. I develop brands, I coach, consult, and offer creative direction. And I am damn good at it too. My unique point of view can be a real asset. Whether you're rebranding, you need a marketing strategy, you need communications for a campaign, I'm that guy. To see my work or book a consultation, shoot me an email, avocreative.ng@gmail.com. avocreative.ng@gmail.com. Let's make magic together.
These are not things I talk about, because talking about stuff like this really has the tendency to just make people think, oh, she's a bit loony. But I'm starting to get very comfortable.
You'd be surprised. People want to hear these things.
They want to, yeah.
They
want to
hear, like, you got to see it like this, right? You're an example. Because there are people who are in between two minds. They experience these things, but they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to rationalize it or make sense of it. So, hearing a young lady, 22 years old, who is, you know, a phenomenal musician, talk about her process and, like, the gift and curse that is...
It's really Hamashia.
Yeah. Ooh, that word. I never heard that before. Come again.
Yeah, Hamashia.
How do you spell that, please?
H-A-R-M-A-T-I-A, if I'm correct. So it's like a really great passion, but also a fatal flaw. Which should be fair, because I really look at life in duality, but not necessarily. I always see the good and the bad and the bad and the good. So it makes sense that the one thing that is what saves me every day would also be the one thing that's kind of like, yeah, yikes. That
part. There's a passage in the Gospel of Thomas. I don't know if you're familiar. It's one of those books that didn't make it into
the Bible. Gnostic Gospels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in it, Jesus says,
if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you.
So that's the gift and the curse of it all, in certain ways, that you have this thing, and you're afraid to bring it out, but you know if you don't bring it out,
it's going to kill you.
It's going to kill you.
He also even says, when you seek, you find. And when you find, you will be...
greatly disturbed.
Greatly disturbed. And when you're disturbed, you'll be astonished.
And then Which is so beautiful to me.
Yes.
Bruh.
It's so beautiful.
It's the process.
It's the process, really. You're bringing on my spirituality base side. I like it.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. That part,
hey. Last year, I was listening to this podcast by Aishat Akambi, who I think is such a phenomenal thinker. I'm really drawn to people who think, because that's what I do all the time. And I know everyone thinks, but like deeply contemplate.
Everyone doesn't think, right?
Contemplate certain things. And I'm always contemplating the intricacies of life and existence. And why are we here? And you know, she said something on the show, and she was talking about a quote from Nietzsche, where he says, when you stare into the abyss stares back. And I had never dabbled into Nietzsche. So I heard that, and I was like, huh, and it created a spiral. Like, it was a downward spiral. It was so, I lost my mind.
Yeah.
Because I then went to read the book, and I've not even finished till today, but I was just like, oh, more. And everything kind of fell apart. But anyways, there's this poem called Summer Farm by Norman McKay.
Okay.
And he says, self upon self, a pile of selves I am, threaded in time and metaphysic hand. And I remember like reading that, and I was like, what the fuck is that shit? And then that was another thing that made me spiral too, because the whole time I had gone through life, I thought my perspective was a straight line. But then I figured out that it was a ball. Right? So it's like it took something pushing the ball for it to start spinning, and then my illusion of self began to break, and then there's stuff happening in my family and in school, and so much disillusionment and disenchantment came with all of that. But I can say that it was very painful, but it was so necessary, because I wouldn't be the person I am. I wouldn't think the way I think. I wouldn't consider people the way I do. I wouldn't be someone with depth if I didn't have those experiences. So I just think that was very interesting. Yeah.
To take a metaphor even further, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you said it's a circle, right? So I would say that it's our perspectives or our personalities are like balls of yarn, not just a circle, balls of yarn. And then all it takes is just find that thread that will unravel the entire thing.
When I say there were so many things I held on to, like getting good grades. Like, I used to be staple good child. Like, is if it that is just going to push the family name. I mean, this girl is amazing. And for such a long time, I thought that that was me. But then certain things happen, and I realized that I'd just been doing all these things just because it was what was expected of me. I mean, now I'm not done with uni. I still get good grades, but it's because of an ingrained thing where I feel like I have to, and I'm working on that, I have to maintain a certain thing for myself. Like, if I don't get all A's in my result, I'm just like, oh no, the world is about to go to shit. Yeah. And I have to now be very conscious of even that.
Right.
Because that's such a huge thing where you tie accomplishment to your sense of self.
Yeah.
It's such a volatile thing. Because when you're not accomplishing, it's like, who am I?
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy.
Mm.
It's really crazy.
That part.
When I do this podcast, you never know what to expect, right? You never know where a person is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pleasantly surprised, you know, and I think your fans will be too. Because they don't know.
I try not to even like just put things out there, really, honestly. Because I have this whole thing too where I'm just like, I must be an enigma. I don't want anybody to read me. I don't want anyone to know me. Yeah. Mystery, mystery, mystery. So this is nice.
Let's take a moment to pause and breathe. Relieve the tension. Whatever you're doing, close your eyes, take a deep breath. In through the nose, out through the mouth. One more time. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's resume.
These are not even things I speak about with people. Because most time I say things like that, everyone is listening and they're just like, yeah, but no one ever bounces back. You know, so I just kind of, I keep a journal. So whenever my mind just starts, I just start writing about it and I leave it there. I don't even like to, I be thinking though.
And it's so sad and frustrating sometimes when people don't catch it.
It just flies over. But like at the same time, it's very interesting too. Mm. I also kind of like the fact that you don't catch it because I purposely make it something. Anytime I write a song where I'm trying to be too direct, I don't enjoy it as much because I'm like, I want people to feel like they know, but not really know. Because that's the beauty of knowledge. You can never fully know.
Yeah.
So why should I fully divulge anything? Who does that? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, why cast your pearls before swine?
That part.
Exactly. Because if you have an ideal and you have like a certain way you view life and you cannot put it up to be challenged because of fear that it will fall apart, is that really your ideal? And that was what I dealt with last year.
Mm.
I'm talking even things like feminism, what feminism means to me. Like, and that was a very difficult thing for me to like take apart and put back together again because, you know, I was so like, oh yeah, like this is this and that is that. But like now I'm in a much more comfortable, much more me space in my feminism, which is great. Yeah.
You've defined what feminism means for you as opposed to taking on the general.
Yeah.
That's a thinker. That's...
And I've seen the nuances because what I feel about a lot of conversations we have is so many things are sensationalized, so many things are reactionary, and we can agree that human beings are complex, but we can't seem to agree that the situations human beings are in are complex as well.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we take away the complexities just to make a point? You know, I think that it's a form of, and this is not even just with feminism, this is with like a lot of discourse, you know. It's a form of, I hope no one roasts me. Anyways, if they roast me, everybody will be roasted at some point.
Yeah.
But
see how Effie doubted herself for a moment? See how she almost censored her thought? This is what cancel culture does. It makes even the bravest souls afraid to say what they feel, to freely express their point of view. You would think that the next words she would utter were from the pit of hell. But really, they're just something that everyone thinks every now and then. Stay woke.
But you know, it's a form of even like victim mentality because you are abdicating your role as creator by, you know, giving people the opportunity or the stance to let a reaction come out of you at every single time when you know that in reality, these things don't work that way. it would be great if, as a human race, we chose a better reality than this. I would have liked a reality where you can just see fucking unicorns everywhere, mm-hmm. and you can just walk around naked and not be scared that someone's gonna do something to you, and you can just really, really be free. But it's like, even that freedom is like, at what cost? I think there's so many things that people don't really take time to think about just because it's a quick tweet, it's a quick statement, it's like a buzzword. It's like you say this and you say that, and it's just like, okay, yeah, but in reality, things just don't work that way. They just don't.
Two things you said that just popped my brain. First, you said abdicating your role as creator.
That's what victim consciousness is.
So well put. And the second thing is the clamor for all these freedoms, but at what cost?
Yo, people talk about, for instance, sex a lot. Like, you watch movies and someone is having a one-night stand, and this one is doing that, and this one is doing this. And a lot of young people go into certain spaces just thinking, yeah, this is just going to be another episode of Sex and the City for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not it. A lot of people will not tell you. It's like Coke, right? Coke will sell a bottle of Coke to you, but they're not finna tell you how much sugar is in Coke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people sell the full package with just the pros and not the cons. And it's then when you enter those spaces that you start to realize that this shit is not as black and white as I thought it was. Mm. There's nothing in the ambit of this universe that is black and white. It's just not that way. So why do we strive so hard to make it that way? I think it's even also with the fact that a lot of people want to ascribe goodness to certain people and badness to certain people. And we've come to this point as a society where we feel like because someone is a victim, it means they are innocent.
Mm.
And that innocence, in that very broad term that we all like to look at it in, is just not realistic. This is with so many issues that come up today. It's just not realistic. And anytime someone wants to even talk about it, it sounds like, oh, are you trying to justify? No one is trying to justify anything. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to have a conversation,
yeah,
about the things that actually happen.
Yeah.
I like Christianity for the foundation of the original sin, because it really just says, yo, man, we are all fucked up.
Yeah.
Let's own the fact that we're fucked up, and then let's all help each other to not be fucked up. You know, because I really wish that we lived in such a world where we could just say certain things as absolutes and everybody would just fall in line. Because it seems like it would make the world a better place, right?
Right.
But then, like, that's just not the reality. I also always say, put your phone down, because I had to take, like, a lot of breaks from social media. Right now, I'm on a break.
Mm-hmm.
And that has just come from a place of understanding that there were certain messages that I had keyed into so much, and I had thought, yeah, this is just the hard and fast rule for everything. And then I realized that it's really not, and life doesn't work this way.
Yeah.
And just because a lot of people say something on a platform doesn't necessarily make it true.
Yeah.
And
All right,
because what is right even? What is true?
Right.
There's so many human beings, so many different colors, shapes, sizes, races, genders, whatnot. How are you going to broaden something to the point that it collects everyone and it can? I don't know.
And because you can't do that,
mm-hmm.
it's why the individual is so important. It's up to you to mm-hmm. define for yourself, you know, where the boundaries are. And then communicate it.
Also extend grace to mm-hmm. other people. A lot of people don't like to hear this, but I do believe that some people have teachable spirits and some people can learn. Obviously, there's a point where someone may get to that it feels like they are somewhat irredeemable and just like, yeah, electric chair. And that's
yeah.
fair enough,
yeah.
man. Like, there are some people who do very heinous things repetitively.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But like, There's some people that is, people should extend the grace you extend to yourself. try and extend it to others, as it can be so difficult. And nobody is making light of the difficulty of extending grace. It is very, very difficult, because it means you would even have to own up that you can be fucked up.
Yeah.
Right? And that's something that's very difficult for a lot of people to do, because mm-hmm. that takes self-awareness. It takes being able to study yourself. It takes being able to even listen to other people's opinions of who you are, whether you think the opinions are wrong or right. But we should all try to take the painful journey of extending grace to other people, because we'll probably do more if we did. That part,
hey. And you're fucking wise, by the way.
Do follow the podcast on IG at The Young God Pod and Twitter at I Am The Young God for more God level content. New episodes drop every Saturday at midnight, so do subscribe and do share. I'm your host, Rodney, and I wish you a blessed day and a blessed mind. Rodney, out.